Here tonight. If you're wondering why we are missing almost all the men, it's because most of them are in hospital after the tug of war incident on Sunday. That's also the reason why the men lost, because they were all damaged. So Paul is still suffering in silence. It's good to be here tonight. Good to have everybody. Go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Spend a little bit of time there tonight. And this is going to be probably a little bit more like a Bible study than a sermon. But let's have a look there at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So let's ask ourselves a couple of questions tonight as we walk through this. First of all, how is Paul hearing of these believers' faith? And then also, where did they hear the gospel from? Who is the one that has been teaching them? Who's the one that's been speaking to them? Who's the one that is going to the Father on their behalf? As we read this, we see that someone stepped up. We see that someone went the extra mile. If you have a look at Matthew 5, verse 41, it says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Go with him the second mile. Somebody made a difference in these believers' lives here in this church in Colossae. And we just had our anniversary last week, and perhaps you reflected over the years of people that have had an impact in your life. Maybe there were people in this church that had an impact in your life. Maybe they're people from another place, maybe a different part in your life. But we all reflected, or many of us reflected on the things that happened in our lives, the people that went the extra mile for us. Someone was faithful. Someone prayed. Someone was willing to go that extra mile for you. Here's my question tonight, my challenge for you tonight. Who are you going the extra mile for? Who are you going the extra mile for? And I'm not talking about your children. As parents, we should be going the extra mile, the extra 15 miles, and sometimes it feels like 100 miles for our kids. But who are you going? Who are you being deliberate in somebody else's life? Who are you going the extra mile for? This evening, I don't want to focus so much on Matthew 5, but more so look at an example that we see here of what Jesus was teaching. And maybe tonight it would do us good to consider, perhaps to just dwell for a few moments on where we need to pick up the slack, both as a church, but particularly as individuals. Are we going the extra mile for the believers around us? Are we going the extra mile for our missionaries? Are we going the extra mile? Tonight, let's explore what it looks like as a believer to go the extra mile for one another. And let's open in prayer as we step into Colossians here. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight, Father, you'd work in our hearts. Many of us are tired. We've worked through the week, and Father, we often come to Wednesday night, and Father, we're just a bit worn out. Father, I pray that you would help us to put aside our weariness, and Father, just to look at your word, to study that tonight, and to, Father, draw from it, and Father, to leave tonight desiring to change and to go the extra mile for someone else. Father, we love you. You deserve all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In your name, amen. Paul started off this letter to the church here at Colossae by saying, "I'm praying for you. I've heard about you. I've heard about your faith. I've heard about your love for other believers." This little church there in Colossae, this church that at this point in history is really fading away. And yet Paul hears about him. Paul hears about them. So why does he hear about them? Who is it that he hears about them from? Have a look at verse 5 there. It says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Somebody took the gospel to these people. And in verse 7, we learn who that is, who it was that went the extra mile. Verse 7, "As ye also learned of Epaphras." The gospel that saved you, the gospel that is being fruitful in your life, the gospel that is changing the world came to you from a faithful man, from Epaphras. First thing we learn about Epaphras, and I'm not going to take long tonight, the first thing we learn about Epaphras, about this one that went the extra mile, was that he was a disciple maker. And if we're going to go the extra mile, we need to be willing to be disciple makers. The gospel was bringing forth fruit because they had learned it from Epaphras. The word "learned" there carries with it this idea of discipleship. Somebody partnering in teaching me. Somebody who's willing to come alongside of me despite my problems, despite my differences, despite who I am, is willing to come along, excuse me, and spend time showing me from God's word what my life should look like. I'm sure as we all look back on our lives, there have been people that have taken the time to open God's word with us and show us, hey, maybe this needs to be changed a little, or hey, this is really good, this is how we can sharpen it, or maybe just consistently coming and spending time praying with us. Someone that was willing to go that extra step, that extra mile with us, to make sure that my faith, my walk with God is being strengthened. Verse 6, "Which cometh unto you as it is in all the world, and it brings forth fruit." Is somebody speaking into my life? Are you speaking into somebody else's life so that they can bring forth fruit? So that the gospel can work through them? "Since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister." How deliberate are we being in that? How deliberate are we being in coming alongside of a brother or sister? Let's stay here for a moment in verses 7 and 8. And we see some characteristics that define someone who's willing to go the extra mile. Look at how Paul describes Epaphras. He says, "Our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Paul describes him first there as a dear fellow servant. When we look at the Greek there, there's a preciousness there. This is somebody that Paul is dependent on. Somebody that Paul needs in his life. He's close to Paul. The word "dear" means esteemed. And that's a pretty big deal. If Paul is calling you or placing you in that place, that's a pretty big deal. That means that Epaphras was committed, that Epaphras was something a little bit different. Paul thinks highly of him. Paul recognizes his commitment to the Word of God and to this little group of believers there. "Who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." The word "faithful" means trustworthy. He's trusted with the gospel. He's trusted with the word of God. Are we trustworthy with the word of God? As pastor preaches on a Sunday morning, Are we trustworthy with this? Or do we just sort of take it for granted? We should be taking it and studying it ourselves and spending time in it ourselves and then taking that knowledge that we gain and speaking it into somebody else's lives. We need to be a church that is personal, not just functional. We need to be a church that is focused on the individuals, not just on the collective. So often we come to church and we can get lost in the machinations, the do's, and the things that we do every single week, and we can kind of hide in that place. But church is about people. Church is about coming alongside one another and loving each other so much that I'm willing to sacrifice of my time, of my desires, of my wants, and to come alongside you and help you grow in your walk. And here we see Paul is invested in this young man, and now we're seeing that come back to Paul as well. And Paul says, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ? He's faithful. Here's Epaphras at prison with Paul. And he's brought the issues that were occurring in that church, and he's brought them to Paul, and he needed counsel. He needed to understand, how am I going to help this church grow? How am I going to help these believers mature? And he comes to Paul, and he spends time talking to Paul, and Paul writes it down. He starts to write down, hey, I'm going to write a letter to the church, and I want you to take this back. But understand that Epaphras had to take what Paul's thinking and not just read this letter out. He had to be able to talk through it with him. He had to be trusted with that letter. He had to be trusted with the Word of God. He had to be trusted as he goes back to this church, to this group of believers. And when things are difficult to say, he needed to have boldness. He needed to have courage to speak truth into the lives of the people there, not just to be a messenger, but to come alongside them with love. How are we with the Word of God and the people that are around us? As we are entrusted with God's Word, how are we then taking it and applying it to the lives around us? Or are we just taking it? We need to be coming alongside another. We need to be discipling others. We need to be helping others in their walk. We also need to understand that, hey, I'm not there yet either. And I want somebody to speak into my life. He's a dear fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ. In verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit of Epaphras loves this church so much, loves these believers so much that he wants to see them grow so much that he's willing to go the extra mile. He's trustworthy. He's not going to drop the ball. He's not going to get distracted. Sometimes in our discipleship that happens, right? We commit to discipling someone. We commit to coming alongside of someone. And maybe we don't use those terms. Maybe we just start a conversation and it's a regular conversation, and maybe we spend time reading the Bible with someone, but over time that begins to wane as other things come into our lives. We get busy, we get distracted, we lose focus. Instead of going the extra mile, we end up just doing half a mile. Like Epaphras, like those who invested in you, are you sticking with it? Are you discipling? Are you investing in someone else's life? Well, let's keep moving. Turn over a few pages and to the end there of Colossians chapter 4. We learn some more about Epaphras and about his impact through his testimony. Look at verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. He's a humble servant. Epaphras is called a servant twice. We see it in verse 7 of chapter 1 and then again here in verse 12 of chapter 4. His humility is evident in his willingness to serve these believers. Faithfulness looks like serving Jesus and serving others. Faithfulness looks like serving Jesus and serving others. Verse 7, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ. And then verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. We're all called to serve Jesus. And that doesn't mean heading to Africa on the next steamboat. It means right here, right now, in this church, in this community. We're to serve as Christ served. And going the extra mile means we're willing to humble ourselves and be humble servants, especially amongst our own. If you have a look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Others see Christ through us. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Going the extra mile means that you, as servants of Jesus, put our own desires on the altar to make sure that that others know the gospel, that others are growing in their walk. Are we going the extra mile to serve one another in Christ? Not only was he a disciple maker, and not only was he a humble servant, but he was a prayer warrior. Have a look at verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God." Paul tells us that Epaphras was a minister. He was a pastor who struggled on behalf of his people in prayer. Epaphras agonized in prayer for their spiritual maturity. As a faithful church, as faithful believers, are we laboring in prayer on behalf of other believers within our church? Are we laboring in prayer for our missionaries? Paul uses the word laboring fervently. In the Greek, it's just one word, agonizomai. And we get the word agonize from that. It means to endeavor with strenuous zeal. Last month, we committed as a church to pray for 5 of our missionaries daily. How many of us committed to that time? How many of us agonized in prayer for them? Are we as a church willing to agonize in prayer for each other? You know, so often we have this picture of a prayer warrior often being an old lady that prays constantly, yeah? But each of us should be prayer warriors. each of us should be agonizing in prayer for each other. Each of us should be willing to go that extra mile in our prayer lives, as we see Epaphras do here for the body of believers that God placed him in the middle of. Are we casual in our prayer, or are we willing to go that extra mile and agonize for each other? Paul uses that word agonize there, but I don't think that we understand quite what that means. I don't think we quite go there when we pray. I think we're casual in our prayers, and that's to our shame. I think we could be far more committed as a church in our individual prayer lives. And I think that as we do that, we'll see changes happen that we can't explain, that can only be attributed to God. Let's look at the last trait that we see here in Epaphras before we go to prayer tonight. He was a hard worker. Going the extra mile for someone means that I need to be a hard worker. Have a look at verse 13. For I bear him record, this is Paul talking about Epaphras, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. And them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Epaphras worked hard for these believers there at Colossae. The Greek word speaks of bearing the weight of ministry, bearing the weight of praying for, bearing the weight of speaking truth from the Word of God into someone's life. It's funny because Paul uses that same word, zeal, when he talks about himself. He had a zeal for persecuting the church. He had a zeal for doing everything that he could to hurt, to damage, to injure, to pull down those that believed in Jesus. And he uses the same word to describe Epaphras. He had a zeal for those believers. He was doing everything he could to help those believers grow in their maturity, in their relationship with Christ. There's a lot of passion in that. Epaphras went the extra mile in the work that he did for the church. He didn't take it for granted that he was one of them. He didn't take it for granted that they were saved. He went the extra mile. He desired that they would individually grow in their walk with God. He served them. He prayed intently for them. He worked hard for those believers that God had placed him in the midst of. So tonight, where do you sit? Who are you going the extra mile for? Who are you going to God for in prayer fervently? Who are you working hard for? Who do you have a zeal for to see them grow in their walk with God? If we're going to grow as a church, if we're going to mature as a church, each of us has to be doing that. It can't just be pastor. It can't just be the deacons. Each of us as a believer has to be committed to this body and seeing this body of believers grow individually in our walk with God. So again, let me ask, who are you going the extra mile for? Who are you sacrificing for? Who are you serving? Who are you praying for? Who are you working hard for? Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Father, we just come before you and we're grateful for the examples that we see in your word of men and women that were willing to honor you with their lives. Father, men and women that were willing to put you first and others first. And Father, desirous of seeing other people grow in their walk with you, grow in their relationship with you. Father, tonight I pray that you would impress on our hearts, each of us here tonight, I pray that you would impress on our hearts somebody that we can be going the extra mile for. And Father, I pray that we would be convicted of that, and Father, that we would step into that space, that we would come alongside a brother or come alongside a sister and Father, desire to help them grow in their walk with you. Father, I pray that we would look at our own lives also, and we would see our own shortfalls, and Father, we would desire to bring people into our lives to speak to us, to help us grow, to help us mature. Father, I pray that you would strengthen this church, that you would strengthen us as believers. And Father, you would grow us into a church that is mature and that has an impact beyond these four walls in our community. Father, we love you. I'm grateful that you love us and that you desire to be involved in our lives. In your name, amen.